bopping heads, there's no stopping it. Mainly when the music is classic, you know when you have that album, you can play every track back to back. Asking everybody, have you heard of that? I know you heard of poets exposing their most personal notions over some of the dopest instrumentals. One time for your mental, two times for your mental. Just tell us what you were into by putting your vote in for your favorite classics. Say it won't take long, go to deadendhiphop.com. It'll be up every month for you to choose and for us to review. We taking it back, y'all. Take it back.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Rock, and I'm here again with Dead End Hip Hop. We're here to do another classic album review. Today, we're reviewing Jay-Z, Reasonable Doubt. So, I guess we can get into it, y'all. Thoughts? Review?
Y'all already know I'm the youngest one in Dead End Hip Hop, so all of these classics, they were definitely not my first introduction to these artists. My first introduction to Jay was Volume 2. Hard Knock Life. That was the first song. That was the first time I heard of Jay, and I was just amazed from that point on. And I, you know, listened to everything after that. But I never went back to the beginning. And funny story is, the person that actually told me to go back and listen to Reasonable Doubt was Rock. I remember we was at work and we were talking Jay-Z and all this and all that. I think he had some line. I'm like, oh my god, this dude, he's crazy. And Rob was like, yo, did you ever listen to Reasonable Doubt? I'm like, no, I never went that far back. And he looked at me weird as hell, like, what the fuck is you? Like, you know what I'm saying? Wow. So, yeah, with me, when all three of us used to sit, like, right there, and we was just talking Jay-Z. I think it was around the Black Album. No, it wasn't the Black Album. Sorry. I don't remember what.
It might have been American Gangsta.
American Gangsta.
Yeah, it was American Gangsta.
Yeah, I probably remember this.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Yeah.
So, Rod was like, you never listened to Reasonable Doubt. How can you be a Jay fan? I was like, well, I'm a Jay fan.
Yeah, but that was a wild-ass statement. Like, it that was crazy. We're like, what? For real?
Yeah. Never listened to Reasonable Doubt. So, because of Rod, that's my second favorite Jay-Z album. It's definitely, you know, I don't know the significance or the impact that it had at the time, because again, I came to it so late.
None.
Yeah.
Dang. I like that. Not when it first came out. It didn't.
When it first came out, it wasn't like, oh shit, this Jay-Z album.
Wow. Was it Illmatic?
Really?
Was it AZ?
Illmatic didn't have that kind of impact.
It didn't? Well, I'm just saying, everybody says it does.
None of those albums had that kind of impact right when they first came out.
Normally, those type of albums don't. You know, yeah. It gets, you know,
it's people, just, people wasn't really repping Reasonable Doubt like that. They didn't even start appreciating it until like later on. So yeah, y'all right. It didn't have like a huge impact.
Why? That was like a 9-7.
9-6.
9-7. And alright, I'll let y'all go.
Yeah, it was 9-6, man. Because you had Nas's second album was out. Mm-hmm. It was written. I think The Roots, Illadelph dropped that year, right? B. That was out. Tupac's okay. All Eyes on Me was out. ATL Aliens was out. All that shit was out, man. So yeah, that shit was like, I don't want to say it was a blip on the radar. But you know, it came out and it was surrounded by other great albums and stars that were kind of out there a little bit more than him. Because remember, Tupac was out there, you know, at that time. Just came out of jail.
And he had people hating the East Coast. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and then you know, he was taking shots at, you know, Jay and all kind of other stuff. So nah, it didn't impact anything. Like, it even received subpar reviews. Yeah, you know, people had to go back and re-rate it, you know, because of its significance now. Actually,
the source re-rated.
Yeah, man. I remember that shit, man. But I didn't, and I'll be honest, I didn't play it like that when it came out. Like, I remember when it dropped, and it was one of the ones that you just, so much other shit was out, so I just buy it. And at that time, like, I would just kind of rotate my albums out. But it wasn't one that I, like, had on rotation like that. I was listening more to Outkast and Tupac's All Eyes on Me more than I listened to Jay-Z's Reasonable Doubt.
I really felt like Jay really hasn't strayed too far from who he was, like who he was as a core. Like, it's just a different time period and in a different level where Jay-Z is now. But Jay-Z on Reasonable Doubt, like, he was depicting, like, all of these people that we named, right? Like AZ, Nas, like, they gave you New York, right, in their albums. And I really felt like what Jay did was that he gave you New York. Like it's undeniable where this guy was from, but he gave it to you from a hustler's perspective. And I didn't get that from Nas. Like, you know, like I always said, like, Illmatic's not my favorite, but it was written, like, that was a prime example. Like, I gave you Power, Street Dreams, you know what I'm saying? Like it was always like he was giving you glimpses from different lenses. And it's like Jay was like, I'm this hustler dude, and I'm not gonna take no from an ant for an answer, and this is who I am. And I just feel like as Jay-Z has progressed through his career, he has been the same person, except that it's different. Like, now I'm corporate, now I have a brand, now I'm a business, now, you know, so but he's always been the same hustler that you got from Reasonable Doubt.
He's had like the same hustler mentality, you're saying?
Exactly.
It's just like he's in a different game now.
He's just in a different game. He just brought it. And that's why I said, like, for me, being an avid Jay-Z fan, like, I feel like, of course, musically he's straight. Like, we talking an album that's in 96 and he's still making music now. So of course, sonically and what he's rapping about is different. But when you look at him and the mentality that he's always had, I just felt like Reasonable Doubt was like that foundation. And I feel like that's never been shook for him. You know, like a lot of artists, they change this, that. But I feel like Jay, like at the core of him, you know what I'm saying, he's still like that guy. And it's interesting how like he could still tap back into it, like on An American Gangster, because that was in my top five too. You know what I'm saying? And going back to Reasonable Doubt, definitely my second favorite album, like The Evils. Like, I remember when I first listened to that joint. like just the beats on this. Like, the beats, like Jay-Z has some super classic beats on here, you know what I'm saying? Like these, like Dead Presidents, The Eagles, you know what I'm saying? Just the storytelling that he had on this, Can't Knock the Hustle, you know what I'm saying? I could go on for days and days. Reasonable Doubt, to me, is one of hip hop's like best albums ever for me. Definitely.
Unlike, you know, people, this was my introduction to Jay-Z. I remember summer of 96, high school years, man, and you know, in a time when you had that mafioso like rap style going on with mm-hmm. Only Built for Cuban Links, you know, you had Biggie Still Alive, you had Nas coming off of Illmatic, you had AZ, Doe or Die, you had that mafioso type of rap going on. So what Jay-Z was doing wasn't anything different or anything groundbreaking. But the thing I liked about Jay-Z on this, and I want to touch on, is these two tracks on this album. I thought that was really, I think, amazing from Jay-Z as an MC and from the storytelling point, is The Evils and Regrets. Because pretty much what Jay, what Jay did with this album, he pretty much gave us an introduction to him and pretty much his street.
Right.
It was kind of almost like a concept album almost, but about him. He kind of just pretty much touched on The Evils. I like how he touched on, like, how, you know, I guess the drug game can kind of get you greedy. And where you can turn on your own people, turn on people in your neighborhood, whether it's women, kids, children. But then on the flip side, you got Regrets, which was the final track on there. You got Regrets, where he kind of talks about, yeah, okay, I'm living this life, but I still can't live with no regrets. You gotta, like, not care about you selling the drugs to the community and damaging the community and everything like that.
Like, so that was like one of his most personal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Evils and Regrets, I think there are like the two pinpoint songs on this whole album. Now, Brooklyn's Finest, I thought that was a great lyrical braggadocious track between them two sparring, just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then that's when I was like, okay, Jay might be a serious MC in this game, because
I think that's one of the reasons why I like him. It's just like the way he says things sometimes, and like how he words things sometimes. It's like, oh, okay.
Well, on
like,
this album.
It's,
on this album,
most definitely. You know, I like the personal side. I like the dark side of it, you know. I think we all have a dark side. And I think he really, like, I don't know, you kind of get like a glimpse inside his mind. I don't know.
That's what I liked about it. Cause I feel like I got a glimpse of him, you know, coming from Can't Knock the Hustle to Cashmere Thoughts, him talking like exceeding his goals and everything. Can I Live, him talking about, hey, can I survive hustling in these streets, when he was hustling in the streets. So I like the and I love that Irv Gotti sample. You know, I love that Isaac Hayes, that sample flip. I thought at the time when Biggie was like that dude, for him to trade bars with Biggie and still hold his own, I ain't gonna really say he outshine Biggie and like that. I thought Biggie was like, look, this is my shit. I'm gonna show you why this is my shit. But I thought Jay did a good job going sparring bars for bars with
Biggie. Didn't Biggie rewrite his rhymes or something like that?
Oh, really?
Did he rewrite his rhymes?
Yeah, I think he rewrote his rhymes.
Well, hey, he outshined him though.
Yeah.
Who won? So you got Biggie.
I say Biggie. I think them last two verses that Biggie did.
The Tupac line.
Yes. No, not the Tupac line.
You don't, okay.
No,
okay.
I didn't care about that. But I'm talking about the last two. Biggie's last two verses. I don't want to recite them on here. But
oh, come on.
What did y'all think about?
I'm gonna be talking to
22-2.
Man. But that was a great freestyle.
I think that was really creative. I mean, yeah. I liked it.
I remember the first time I heard that. I was like, there's no way he said it 22 times.
Did you go back?
I counted that shit. Fucking said that shit 22 times. Like, yo, that shit, it just put it for another level to me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I thought it was really creative.
And he has 44-4 somewhere else.
Yeah, he got a 44-4.
I think interesting too about that got me really was like, okay, this dude is gonna be serious. It's Dead Presidents. When I first heard Dead Presidents, the original version, I like the original version better. If you know it's the original Dead Presidents, then you know it's a part two on here. I like the lyrics on that because he pretty much that second verse, he pretty much breaks down what you would call a so-called when the thugs pretend try to get in the street game and you not built for this, you know, alibis keep ain't matching up, bullshit catching up, you know, they repo your vehicle, everything was all good just a week ago, about to start bitching ain't you, ready to start snitching ain't you, I forgive you weak ass, hustling just ain't you, like he that second verse he broke down that whole mentality of like, yeah, you think you want to get in this street in the street game, but look, I'm gonna drop this verse for you and let you know that you're not really about this life.
When you think about
that life, you ain't about that life, man.
What is it?
Dead President.
No, what's the part one on?
It was like a promo for the album. He released the video for it and everything.
I never heard it.
Yeah, he released the video for it and everything. So the part two that you hear on the album, that was, I like that one, but I like the original better just because he was very clever and witty with his wordplay on that one, man. And the story he just told, man, was just crazy. Bring It On with Sauce Money.
Yeah.
I thought Jazzo had to
stand Jazzo out. Was nice.
Jazzo killed that shit, man. He killed his verse on Bring It On. And like again, Primo laced the mail and friend of foe. I love how Jay-Z had like that conversation talking to that street dude. Like, look, you ain't about to take over my corner. You know what I'm saying? This is my corner. This is my block. You ain't, you know. Ah. This first album, I'm like, man, this the Jay-Z I really miss because he was so introspective. He was so clever. His wordplay was clever. What's that on D Evil? He said we used to fight for building blocks, now we fight for blocks. I mean, like you know what I'm saying? Like if you know dudes that was in that life, I mean, I knew dudes that was like in that life, so I kind of understood that concept. We used to fight for building blocks, now we fight the blocks for building that make it killing for making bad bread. So it's just like
you gotta be on the right block.
Yeah, you just gotta be on the right block. And when I heard that, I'm like, God, that's why I think the Evils and Regrets are like. Don't get me wrong, and I love Dead Presidents. Dead Presidents is another one of my like favorite Jay-Z songs, but like the Evils and Regrets, I think to me it kind of brings everything in a circle with those two tracks. Just listen to it, like you said, the Evils is real dark. He's telling you he's in like the most grim part of his drug living life, and it's like damn. And then when you hear Regrets, it's kind of like I know why you feel that way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I thought it was amazing when I first heard this. Is it better than, you know, in my opinion, is it better than Illmatic? No. Is it better than Only Built for Cuban Links? No. And you can tell, you can see a lot of Big Daddy Kane influence too in that. Cause I remember when it first came out, people were like, oh man, he got the little suit on. I'm like, Big Daddy Kane had a suit on in the hat.
The
it's like,
was G,
but Big Daddy Kane. I mean, you can see the Big Daddy Kane influence because he used to roll with him. So overall, I thought this album was really good. I know I'm forgetting some other tracks, but I'll let y'all speak.
Yeah, man. I think one, you know, when I think back on Reasonable Doubt, outside of, you know, Jay's lyricism, I think for me, like, one of the attractions was the production, which had that soulful kind of R&B type feel. And then the other thing I think about is, like, even when I look back on it now and I look at the you know, the number of females that really like this album, man, which is kind of, you know, yeah, man, there's a lot of females that when they cite a Jay-Z album, they put this shit on and play it. And I kind of wonder, does the R&B kind of sound have something to do with it, but or not, I don't know. But like, yeah, Mary J singing on it and stuff like that, so, you know, very, I know it kind of sounds fucked up. Was that what you're saying?
No, he wasn't.
Wasn't as misogynistic back then.
Oh.
There really weren't, I mean, not that I can remember. I'm not a Jay-Z expert like you guys, clearly. But I don't remember there being a whole lot of bitches ain't shit, I'm fucking bitches lines. It was really just, I'm making money, I'm selling.
Yeah, he was a bad boy. Yeah, he was a bad boy persona. Right? I'm not supposed to bring him home to mama, like, but I like him. You know what I'm saying? He got money and all of these. Oh, well, shit. Get off my shoulder.
Like B, man, Can I Live, the beat on Can I Live, man, was like the one, man. That's like my joint on there. And you know, one thing I like about this album is that the more I play it, like, you know, when I was listening to it back then, it was like, you know, this was my favorite song, and then I was like, okay, nah, this is my favorite song. So it kept, you know, switching and flip-flopping back and forth, man. And that, kind of, you know, when you think about it, that kind of was really makes a good album, because you go back and you discover something new about it, you know. And when this album dropped, you know, everybody talking about, you know, oh, I'm dropping a classic, this, that, and the other. Like, you, we weren't really running around saying, oh man, that was a classic. We were like, man, this shit was dope, you know.
It was another dope album, yeah, like you heard.
Yeah, exactly.
It was normal back
then. Yeah, so. It didn't have a lot of skippable tracks. You could play it from front to back, and then, you know, and that was that. You just let it ride. And, you know, like I said, it was so many other quality albums out. You pop it out, you pop something else in, and you just keep it rolling. But yeah, Friend or Foe was my joint. That was like one of my favorite tracks on here too, because like you said, it showed Jay-Z's ability to, you know, storytelling ability, and he was funny and he was clever, and you know, you got a little laugh out of it. So that one, and then Brooklyn's Finest, like, you know, they're just going back and trading bars. You're like, ah, you know, that was good, Jay, but nah, man, you can't mess with Biggie. Dead Presidents, of course, you know, The Evils, Regrets, and how he was really, really introspective on it. And really, that's kind of what defined Jay-Z, right? You know, he's telling his story, you know, he's giving you a piece of him, and he's really, like, inviting you in into his life, and that's, you know, counter, you know, I can't let it go, to counter what people were saying, man, he went away from that. He's not doing that anymore. Yeah, his lifestyle has changed, and I get that, and he's rapping about stuff that he's doing now, but it doesn't connect the way that album did and the way some of the things that he was doing back
but
then connected.
But he's not
connected.
A street hustler no more, though, Ken.
So, he's not even rhyming the same though.
Oh, no, of course not.
Of course not.
That's what I thought you were saying. No.
I wasn't saying that he was rhyming the same. And that's what I said, like, you know, we talking an album that came out in 96. It's 2014. Like, that has
Yeah, but even some
changed.
Of the albums that he like, remember the argument that we used to always have and that I had at that time with you guys about Jay-Z was that he was getting away from me, you know what I'm saying, with some of the things he was saying. It was all about his possessions and materialism, this, that, and other. That's why I loved American Gangster so much, because you found Jay-Z going back to telling stories and concepts and narratives. So when you listen to it, you kind of listen to him take you somewhere. But nowadays, it's like, you know, it's Maybox and all kind of other shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I can't really attach myself to that. But anyway, so that's what I wanted to say to that, because I'm like, man, I don't know about that one, people. You kind of bugging, man. This album, man, you know, it just fit in with everything else, and then it just matured over time, and when people can go back and listen to it, and, you know, yeah,
y'all,
man.
I still listen to it.
I still put it on. Yeah. Not as much as I used to. But, you know, I would, if I had to pick an album to play, this would probably be one of the ones that I would pick.
I don't like this album. I've said that 100 times. I really enjoy this album, but I don't listen to it like y'all do. You know, this isn't the first thing I heard by him, which is why I never got around to listening to it. I don't think I listened to this until, like, the mid-2000s.
Right.
You know, the first thing I heard was Hard Knock Life, and I was like, this is bullshit. You keep this. I don't hear this shit at all.
I love Hard Knock.
No, I can't listen to that. I'm talking about the song. With the Annie sample and all that. Yeah, I was like,
take the bass.
What in the hell is this? I was like, no. No, I like Annie. We grew up on Annie. And I was like, oh, somebody sampled Annie, then he started rapping. I was like, I don't like this.
He just listening to
him. No, I paid plenty of attention, and that shit did nothing for me. And then finally, I got around to listening to Reasonable Doubt, and I was like, wow, this is the same guy? I was like, Jesus, he can actually rap on this. I was like, nah, I see why people think he's the greatest. I don't know what happened after that. Well, first of all, he picked production that fit him perfectly. You know, he sounded perfect over all those beats. But I think what's really, really interesting about that album is he was really cocky on that album. But it wasn't the same kind of cocky he is now. Like now he's cocky about, I got all this money. I got this Maybach, I got these 12 cars, I got all this shit. Yeah. Back then, it was like, I'm cocky because I'm a spitter. When you have that type of cocky, I like to hear you back it up. Because when you're cocky about how much money you have, you don't have to back up anything. Because your fucking bank account backs it up. That doesn't mean anything to me. But if you're cocky because you're a rapper, and you're cocky because you're a dope rapper, you have to back that up. And I feel like he did that. On this album, his wordplay is great.
His
wordplay is great. And Brooklyn's Finest is one of the songs where I was like, okay, wow. When I first heard that track, I was like, god damn. Like, he definitely kept up with Biggie. I'm not even gonna get into the Who Won shit, because to be honest, and this probably means a lot coming from someone like me, I think Jay-Z and Biggie were on par. I don't think Biggie outshined him at all. Like, Jay has some dope lines on that shit. Nigga, please, like, short sleeves, I bare arms. Like, Jay was spitting his ass off on that shit. And other tracks. But the only thing I think that detracts a lot of interest for me are the female hooks on this album. I don't like any of those female hooks.
Not the Mary Jane?
No! It wasn't even like a strong Mary J. It was like a reserved Mary J. Jay had a real good ear for making catchy songs. He was kind of like Pun back then. Like, he had a good ear for making catchy songs, but still keeping the verses really lyrical. And like, Ain't No Nigga, I hate that fucking hook.
I ain't like that.
That hook is horrible. And then there was another one.
Killing It?
Yes! Oh, with the girls, the name starts with an M.
I can't remember name.
Makeba.
Mecca. Yeah, Mecca.
Jesus. It. Just terrible. Yeah! Feeling it.
It's jazzy, man.
I love it. It was real jazzy.
It takes away from the album, the music.
But the beats and
it went along with the vibe.
It went along with the vibe because Jay was coming with this mafioso thing and like...
Right.
They
took an edge off of it with it.
Yeah, exactly.
But... with him, he's with you.
Because you were saying it took the edge off,
so it didn't go with the vibe.
No,
it took away from the vibe for me.
I think it added to the vibe because you needed something to take away all of that street shit.
Fuck that
like
shit.
It was just
you
too
thought. Why?
I'm not taking this seriously. I'm just saying, like, a person like me, I need that balance. You know what I'm saying? And I love, you know, listening to all of those stories of being, you know, hard and the wittiness and all of this. But then it's just like, man, what a bitch in that though.
You're so stupid.
What a bitch is that, though?
It's so stupid.
That's
like, I know. What a bitch is that? What a bitch is that, though? All this good. What a bitch is that, though? I think what's really interesting to me about this album, which is why I gave you the gas space earlier, is his flow on this album, to me, is impeccable.
I love it.
Because it was between that super fast triplet bullshit he was doing, and it was before he got to that lazy shit. It was like right in between. Like, he was transitioning away from doing that super fast flow. So if you listen to it, he still has like certain lines where he'll do a little triplet flow real quick and then he'll go back to a regular flow. And that's what I find so interesting about this album is it felt like Jay-Z, he had something to prove on this album and he was hungry. He was like, this is my debut. I'm gonna show y'all that I can spit.
And this is the time when New York was shining too.
He had a lot of good things.
And his peers at the time.
A lot of people was coming out, he had to stand out, and he did.
So you were saying my first introduction.
Yeah, what was your first intro to Jay?
So like I said, my boy, he played S.Dot Carter for me in the car. And I didn't even get through it because I was like, what the hell is this? You know what I'm saying? I don't want to hear this because like I said, I'm from the South, from the hood. We wasn't listening to stuff like that. So it was just like, I don't want to hear this. So I didn't get reintroduced to Jay-Z until I moved here to Atlanta back in 99 or whatever. And that's when I copped Rock La Familia, the Dynasty album. And I was like, oh, damn. So yeah, he's pretty much rapping about the same shit that all these other dudes are rapping about, but he's just doing it better. And you know, like, you know, I grew up, you know what I'm saying? So now, you know, I want to hear lyrics and stuff. I was in college, so I'm like, all right, cool. And then people was just like, everybody else was like, yo, you should go back and listen to Reasonable Doubt. And I was like, all right, cool, yeah. Because at that point, I liked Rock Bought In. I bought in. So I went back, I was like, oh! Oh my God! It's safe to say that was my first introduction to liking lyricism, basically. Wow.
That's interesting.
My introduction to that, like, because before that, it was just Master P, A-Ball and MJG. Not saying they're not lyricists, but that type of lyricism. Yeah. Like, I didn't like East Coast music like that. I'm from the South, dude. We didn't listen to that.
Yeah.
I was into pop, you know what I'm saying, West Coast stuff. I just wasn't up on that. So listening to Jay is how I got into Nas and everybody else on the East Coast. I was like, man, I love this. And now I love East Coast music. You know what I'm saying? I love lyricism. So, you know, that was my introduction.
Still bump Reasonable Doubt to this day.
Man, I bumped that one. I bumped. This is two versions. You know, it's one with the Memphis Bleak at the end.
Can I Live Part Two?
Can I Live Part Two? And it's the original. What's the original one has? Can't remember, man. Like I said, I want to
prepare. Can I Hustle Remix? Can I Hustle Remix?
Yeah, it's coming out. So it's two versions of it. You know, so I have both of them. I have both of them. I play both of them like they're two different albums. But it's the same thing. You know what I'm saying? So.
What is it about the album that you like? Now we get it out, man. Let's get it out. We'll guide you, dog.
Trust me. What makes this album a classic?
It sounds like it was something that was done over an amount of time. Like whereas today you have, you know, somebody puts out an album within like 2 weeks or a couple months. It seemed like this was years in the making. You know what I'm saying? It seems like you can feel the struggle in it. And like I said, I've watched the documentary, so just to hear everybody's testimony and how they was in the studio crafting these beats for him. You know what I'm saying? So it was just like, that's what I love about it. There's so many things I like about it. You know what I'm saying? From the production, lyricism. It's just Jay in his prime, man. Like, he sounds, like I said, that hustler spirit.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how I connected to it, because like I said, I always listen to hustler music, but it was just from a New York state of mind.
He was like, so clever with it.
Yeah, he was just clever with it. It was just different for me. I was like, wow, man. I was just blown away by it. I was blown away by it. So.
There you have it. Yeah. Midas Media. Till next time, see y'all later.